Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Go to the dentist, Vic, and have to have your teeth pulled out. You know, it's pretty much like that. This was tough, man. You know, fourth and one, we have the ball. We go for it. We get rejected. Next possession, first down. We're going to take a shot with an aggressive play action protection. Sack strip fumble. Right before the half, we're going in for points. Sack strip fumble. Early in the third quarter, we're in great field position. Interception for a touchdown. We force a kicker to miss a field goal. We rough the kicker. They end up getting seven out of that. There wasn't anything pleasant about watching the tape. But as a coach, you have to take responsibility for what you can control. And we're going to try to make the proper corrections, hopefully get some players healthy, and return to the lineup on Wednesday.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today. Coach John Gruden yesterday talking about what it was like watching tape of the Raiders' loss, that 43-6 loss at the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. You're back here on Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friends, Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys. Call them anytime, 702-820-1234. I am Scott Gulbranson, joined by my co-host, Q Myers. Q, we're kind of in the last day. We're going to talk a lot about the loss and kind of get a sense for people we're at. But I think overall, Raider Nation looks like they've calmed down. They're not overreacting too much. Concern there, but not dread. Nope, we're not getting Q. We'll work on that in a minute. But that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a lot of folks. Oh, there he is. There he is. Hey, we got the connection. Q, you hear us all right? Nope. Okay, we'll take care of that off the air. But I look at Raider Nation out there talking about this loss. Nobody's happy about this loss. The team's not happy. The coaching staff's not happy. You're not happy in Raider Nation. But I'll tell you, I think that if you look at, for example, our Sided Raider Nation debate that we have up. If you don't have the Sided app, go grab it. It's free. You can get it on Android or iPhone. But on the question of the week was, how concerned are you with the Raiders after their 43-6 loss to the Falcons? So far, a vast majority of you say not very much, move on, just one game, or somewhat. They need to get right and right the ship fast. That's over about 70% of you have that.
Yo.
The other 30%, you there, Q? Yep. Okay, we'll get to them. We're having some tech issues here at the station, but that's all right. But only 30% of you are in the camp of here we go again, meaning that the Raiders were having so much trouble that you're really concerned about whether or not they're going to be able to right the ship, right? And I think, listen, oh, by the way, first, before we get to the business of talking Raiders football, want to give a hearty congratulations to Derek and Heather Carr for the birth of their daughter, Brooklyn. A special, special day for Derek yesterday. His first daughter joins the three boys he has at home. And, you know, football is football. And we'll congratulate him and the family on that one as well. So there you go. It's all good stuff. And we want to wish Derek and Heather Carr and Brooklyn's brothers, you know, the new member of the family. As somebody myself with five kids, I know the feeling, and it never gets old. It's always special, each one of them in their own way. And to have their first daughter as well, really, really cool for the car. So good, good stuff. But back to the football now. Just a quick rundown of what we got going on today's show. Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas, as he does every week, joins us on Tuesday. We're going to ask Jesse about how concerned he is with this performance by the Raiders and what they're doing. Also, coming up at the top of the second hour, Nate Davis, the great USA Today writer, he's the one who compiles the NFL power rankings every week. And so we'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about the Raiders. Where are the Raiders at versus the rest of the NFL in this just strange year where you were seeing all kinds of weird stuff? And we'll get to the Ravens thing in a minute, because that reeks of hypocrisy for the NFL as it relates to how the rest of the teams have been treated with COVID and what's going on there. So we'll talk about that too. But we'll ask Nate about that. We'll ask him about momentum into December, January, how important that is for an NFL team who's looking to get a playoff spot. Now, this year, remember, playoff spots expanded in each conference from 6 to 7, but that does not mean that 9 or even 10 wins could get you in the playoffs, especially on the AFC side for sure. But when we look at how the AFC is going to pan out, we'll talk to Nate Davis as well. You can follow him at BY Nate Davis on Twitter, and we'll be able to figure that out and talk to him. Be good stuff. Also, we'll have the Q-tip later today, and we'll touch base with Vinny Bonsignore at 3:40. He's out at Kona Grill, as he is every Tuesday, and he'll be able to get us up to speed on the latest Raider news. Of course, today's Tuesday. The team not able to go into the facility yet, only on Wednesdays. All the NFL teams. I had somebody, it was interesting, somebody kind of tweet out, oh, these guys, they should be in there practicing, blah, blah. They can't. It's Monday, Tuesdays now, and we finally have the connection. We had the little gremlins connect the wires below the console to make sure we bring in Central Texas, and that is, of course, the home of my co-host, Mr. Q Myers. Q, we got you back, man.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I don't know how you guys did it, but I'm here, I think. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. You sound
okay.
Good,
I get. I don't hear an echo in my ear, so that's positive.
So I just touched on. I went down the rundown of the show, man. What's coming up? And congratulated the Carr family on the arrival of Brooklyn Carr. And no word yet if that had anything to do with any kind of influence by the Baron of Brooklyn, of course, Mo Moten. But we'll find out that more later. But we're going to talk a lot about today, Q, where the Raiders are, kind of what the loss said about them. And it's sort of like, you know, I grew up Catholic, so it's called purgatory. You know, when you die, you don't necessarily go right to heaven or hell. You kind of stuck in the middle there until you can figure it out. And I think, like, the Raiders a little bit in purgatory now. They got to go beat the Jets. Of course, it's 1 week at a time. But, man, this team, it really has no margin for error the rest of the way.
No, they really don't, man. They've put themselves in a bad situation. They backed themselves into a wall, into a corner, really, in that wall. And it's just, it's something that they got to work themselves out. And it can go one of two ways, man. It can work out really well. They can feel the sense of urgency and get after it and perform really well at a high level. Or they can do the exact opposite and kind of bottom out. So we'll see, again, who this team is and what they're made of coming up this week, starting with the Jets.
And that's the thing. I you know, look, as disappointing as it was, the loss, how they played, the lack of intensity, that piece of it, you know, you have to let that go because it's one game. If you dwell on it too much as a fan, as a player, it's just going to impact it. We talked about that after the Chiefs game, and I think, you know, there's no way for us to know exactly, but for me, as an outsider looking in, it sort of looks like that hangover from the Chiefs impacted them. And, you know, I was thinking today, I'm watching NFL Network this morning. I watch Good Morning Football pretty religiously in the mornings as my kids are getting up. And, you know, all of this attention, you know, Raider Nation, I've talked about them here before, wanting this national attention for how well they played. So they kind of play well, and they were getting all this love for losing, which, you know, if you think back, we talked about it last week, Q, but it was a little strange because they were getting all this love for losing. It's a win and loss
right
league. So
yeah.
So they get that, and then now basically I'm seeing everybody predict, you know, this after this week's game so far, sans one. I've seen them just be crapped upon now. Now they're not even considered a playoff team, even though they're on the bubble.
Hey, man, that's the you know, the far left and far right as far as fandom goes. You know, it's one extreme to the other, and you're right, man. This is a really good team. I do believe it's a really good team. Not yes. What they showed on Sunday, but they put themselves in a tough situation, though.
They really did, but here's the thing. All you got to do is win. If you win, and sorry, I just got your text, which is funny, an inside thing, technical thing, but nonetheless. But we get to the point now where, you know, you get into December. Today's the first day of December. Now it's the men from the boys, and right. You either separate yourselves from the rest of the pack or you become part of the pack that starts making golf plans. You know, we can't go on vacation right now, so you start making plans for what you're going to do on the off season. For guys that are only living in Las Vegas because it's a season, they start to think about where they're going to go back home. That's the kind of thing that happens when you're checked out and you're not a playoff team. I really believe, as we talked to Hondo yesterday, I believe this team still has that potential. I predicted 9-7. You predicted 10-6. I think they're going to be one or the other. I don't think it'll be worse than 9-7, and I don't think it'll be better than 10-6.
That's right. No, I'm with you. If it's better than 10-6, then they caught fire, boy.
You're right. But that's what they need to do. You know, I mean, you look at some of these teams and you watch teams like last night. By the way, I know you don't bet, Q, but I don't know if you've seen all the headlines about the bad beat last night with the Seahawks with the bet.
Yes, that was that's a rough deal. I'm not a bettor, but I'm telling you what, if I was, I'd have been angry by that outcome.
Yeah, I had the Seahawks -6.5.
Now,
I'm a small-time bettor for you guys out there. I'm not like betting thousands of bucks. I bet like 20.
He's got big money. Don't let him fool you, man. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. Nah. He's got the big bucks rolling, man. Nah. This dude's rolling up in a Maserati after his bets.
Maserati. You rode in my car. It's not a Maserati.
I know.
but yeah, I had it. I had 6.5 points. I had a $25 bet. That's a big bet for me. But I also had another $25 bet on the under. And so I won that one. And I'm sitting there. My good friend, Phil Wiseman, who listens to the show on his way home from work on the podcast feed. He's a big Seahawks fan. And so I go to the cigar lounge and I meet him and we watch the game, right? And I'm his good luck charm now because every time I watch the game with him with the Seahawks, his Seahawks win. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, yes, this is awesome. We're about to get ready to go. And then that happens. Now, the reason I bring that up is not you should feel bad for me for betting because it's my fault for betting. But second is the Eagles are a horrible football team. Okay?
Yes.
And I know they have 3 wins, but I look at the Eagles and I look at the Raiders. The Raiders are a good football team. I know you don't feel great about how they performed, Raider Nation, but I will tell you, this is not a bad football team. This is a good football team. They're better than they were last year, which gives me much more hope and confidence that they will rebound from these 2 losses. They will go to New York, take care of business, and then come home and take care of the Chargers. That's where I think they're at.
Yeah, no, and I'm right there with you, and I think that where Raider Nation is, the majority of them, how a lot of people are so upset about that loss on Sunday is kind of that old saying, you know, you are what your record says you are, or you're only as good as your last game, or for me, for example, I say I'm only as good as my last radio show. If my last radio show wasn't very good, then I'm not worth a crap, and so I got to come back the next day, and I got to be focused, and I got to really have a good show. So I think that's where a lot of fans are like, hey, you're only as good as the last thing you put out there on film, which was a terrible performance.
Yeah, and that's fair. Look, every fan base has that small, I'm going to say 10 to 15% of people who are never satisfied. They're going to be angry. They're going to be, this is the end of the world. And we see that. But I will tell you, I have been really, really not surprised. I have been very happily, I think, content with the fact that I've seen Raider fans say, you know what? Bad, bad loss. It's going to make the battle much more tougher. The hill to climb is now bigger than it was a week ago, but that's okay. I hear the confidence from most fans. I hear the, oh, here we go again stuff too. But overall, I don't think that's where Raider Nation is at. You guys tell us what you think. 702-365-9200 is the number. Our good man, producer, engineer, Damon, will pick up the phone. He will get you on the line with us, and we'll talk about it because I really think that it's scary. I had somebody message me on Twitter last night saying, hey, do you think Derek Carr was so bad on Sunday because he was thinking about his baby being born because she was obviously very close? I don't know. I don't know. Derek called out guys for not being focused. So I don't think Derek Carr was not focused. I think he just had a bad game. And it
happens. Yeah, he did. He did. And one of the things that he's got to clean up, though, and we've talked about it, is those fumbles in the pocket, man. I mean, you have 11 of them through 11 games. That's not okay. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Derek Carr's had a very good season. Yeah. Very good. I've actually, you know, started to believe in him even more than I already did. But that thing, that element right there, that ball security's got to get better.
Yeah, no, that's exactly true. And look, again, in those situations, if everything else doesn't fall apart, like like it did, because it was a comedy of errors throughout. Penalties, turnovers, that mostly Derek Carr, four of them, as a matter of fact. All that stuff happened, and they couldn't get going. Josh Jacobs gets hurt. All this stuff happens. If it was just Derek Carr was not having a great game, and Josh Jacobs is running the ball really well, and the offensive line, by the way, which had, to me, its worst game of the season, if they were playing better, then maybe they're able to eke it out, and they were able to score some points and keep the team in the game instead of relying on their defense, which is still a huge work in progress, to be out there the whole game, then maybe it's a different story. And then you say, yeah, Derek had a down game, but they still won, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But everything went downhill. It went in the crapper, and it went there fast, which is why you missed it at the top of the show. The sound from Coach Gruden coming in at the top was about the game film, like going to the dentist.
It just, oh, yeah, yeah.
you learn from the mistakes. But it's just not gonna it's not gonna feel any better. So, you know, we're gonna talk a little bit about that and where this team is, less about just the game and more about where this team is and what they need to do, Q, as they head down the stretch.
Yeah, and I'm excited about their opportunity, man. You know, I really am. Even though it's coming off a terrible loss and everyone's been venting about it and all that, it's time to turn the page. It's time to turn the page and focus on the Jets and then focus on the rest of the season. And you have to take it one game at a time. They have an opportunity to knock off these teams one at a time and show what they're really made of. And look, if they go into the playoffs winning 4 out of 5 or on a 5-game win streak, whatever the case may be, and they go into the playoffs like that, then who's going to say that someone's going to stop them? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what you call, like, peaking at the right time. If they were to do that, go into the playoffs in a 4 out of 5 games winning streak or whatever, I would be very impressed and say, hey, you know what? I'm not really going to bet against this team right now.
No, and on your podcast this morning, you talked about it, right? You said, look, you're going to show who you are. And this
exactly.
has been a theme for you on this show and your podcast. By the way, go subscribe the Locked On Raider podcast from Q every morning. You're going to get your dose of the Raiders in the morning, and then you can get them later in the afternoon here. But you talk about it. Look, the Raiders have an opportunity. It goes back to preseason. Derek Carr, we feel disrespected. Okay. You know what? The national media has already checked out on you again, so they're not disrespecting you. They're just kind of saying what they think you are at this point. So if you want to prove it, go out and win, beat the Jets, and beat the Jets in a big way, in my view, and then come home, get the Chargers, and then you got the Dolphins and the Colts, which is going to be the two biggest games of the season in a row, and so you're going to have to get ready for that. Okay, we're going out on the Raider Nation hotline on this Tuesday. Charles, our good friend in Bowling Green, you're on. You want to talk about Raiders and playoff chances?
Yeah, Scott. I went back and looked at all the schedules of the teams, and I disagree with Q. 9-7, I think, for surely gets you in the playoffs, and there's no way the Dolphins are getting in. I went to look at the schedule of these teams, and they're brutal for them. I mean, they're brutal for us, and I'm not saying it's a great thing if we back into the playoffs. I'm just willing to bet you guys that 9-7 for surely gets you in the playoffs. And that's, you know, looking what New England or Houston get on the road. If New England or Houston beats Indy this week, I mean, one of these weird teams are going to get in there. And I'm, like I said, we don't want the Raiders to back in, but I think 9-7 gets you in. Now let's shut up and listen to you guys.
All right. Charles, I don't know, man. I hear what you're saying. And look, we got 5 weeks left, Q.
Right.
But
anything,
man,
could happen.
And we're going to talk to an expert about this. Nate Davis from USA Today is coming on at 3 o'clock. He does the power rankings and all that, and he's got the playoff picture all dialed in. I just think, you know, you're right. I mean, the Dolphins, to me, are the most suspect team. I think the Colts have a better chance. And then you have the Browns there. And then I know the Ravens are a mess right now with the COVID stuff and the games being moved around and all that stuff. But they have talent. So to me, I can see a 10-win team not making it. Now, I hope Charles is right. I hope a 9-7 gets in, and because that's where I picked the Raiders to be. And if they're 9-7, I hope they're the number 7 seed. But I still think 10 games, it's not a given.
I don't either, and that's why I said 10 wins. He's absolutely right. Charles is spot on. I mean, look, you can get in with 9 if you have a lot of help.
Yes.
I'm saying you got to go out there and win 4 out of 5 to give yourself a fighting chance, a really good chance, and you still probably need a little bit of help. I mean, there's teams out there that, and I know the Dolphins aren't a great team, but they're still sitting there at 7-4. They're still sitting there with a better record than you have right now, and they have a really good defense. Do not underestimate what Brian Flores and that defense has going on. Offense, not so much, but that defense is cooking with grease.
Yes, and I agree with him. Like I said, the Dolphins are the most suspect team, although they're playing well. Their schedule, I mean, you know, there's nothing more dangerous, in my view, than an underrated team that believes in itself. It doesn't matter what talent they have. If you get that confidence rolling – You can go play with anybody. I mean, these are professional football players. It doesn't matter how good their roster is and how tough their schedule is, and you don't know what's going to happen to the other teams too. The Ravens at 6-4, if they can put things together and win two games, you know, within 5 days of each other, which is what they're going to have to do, then they are dangerous too. I mean, you look at the talent they have and what they're able to do. I mean, it's just, to me, you're right, Q. You have to go out and win 4 or 5. Okay. We're going out to H in Albuquerque. H, you're on with Q and Scott. What's going on?
Hey, guys. So I was so distraught after this loss, I decided I was going to step back and boycott this team for the whole week.
What?
And I made it through Monday. here's the thing that's bothering me. It's these losses happen. And looking at the remaining of the schedule, you know, the Raiders are good enough to beat any of the teams on the schedule.
Yep.
But the problem that I have is they have to go 4-1 to get to 10-6. Is that right?
Yes.
And the one thing they've not shown to me is consistently is that they cannot consistently play well. And so I have my doubts that they can finish 4-1. And to me, 10 wins is the threshold for a good season. Mm-hmm. 9-7, 7-9 wins is mediocre. Sometimes the 9-7 teams makes it in the playoffs. But, like, with regards to just the regular season, I'd be a little disappointed if they finish at 9-7.
Yeah,
I think they're better than that, and I just want them, you know, to perform at their best ability, and I think they can. I think they're a 10-6 team too.
Yeah, H. Look, a couple things. Number one, great call. Number one is I agree with you on the 8-8, 9-7. You know, for a team. For a team rebuilding that hasn't had a winning season in a while, I think 9-7's a good year. Not a great year. Not a year you walk away from saying, yeah, all right, I can't wait. No, I get that. The worst to me is 8-8 because you're right. It's mediocre. You're not high in the draft order, and you're not a playoff team, right? Unless you're in NFC East.
And on top of that, Scott, if you're 8-8, that's a one-game improvement for what you were last year.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? In your third year under Gruden, under this rebuild, you know, you went from 4 wins to 7 wins. So I think natural progression means you go from 7 wins to at least 9 wins, and it should be 10 wins. You want to continue to progress so you know that what you're doing is heading in the right direction. If you end up 8-8, then all of a sudden you're looking at yourself like, well, what are we doing here?
Yeah, and I know this team would have no problem whatsoever, maybe even getting to 11 wins if some of, for example, their draft picks panned out, if some of the defensive free agents, if Malik Collins was 3/4 of the player we thought he was going to be.
He stinks.
Yes. If they had a pass rush, I think this team has another 2 wins. I really do.
Let me ask you this, Scott. And maybe we can get some feedback as well. And I was a big advocate of this move. Mm-hmm. And I hate that I'm even going here. But was getting rid of Brinston Buckner a bad decision? Bringing in Rob Marinelli, was that a bad decision in the long run?
You know, I know a lot of fans early in the season were really on that because Coach Buck, and we had him on the show when we were on the other station. Great, great guy. He's younger. Let's face it. I'm not saying older guys. Right. Hey, look, I'm an older guy. But I'm just saying he seemed to have it dialed in with that group last year because they improved greatly year over year last year. And it's one of those questions I definitely think we're going to have to look back on when we get to the postseason. So I'm putting it in the parking lot myself, but I do agree it's worth exploring. All right, we're up against our first break. On the other side of this break, we will be joined. We'll take some of your phone calls, by the way, 702-365-9200. What do you guys think? Where are you at in your headspace as a member of Raider Nation about this team in 2020? After that, 2:30, Jesse Merrick, our good friend from News 3 Las Vegas. He'll be with us, and we're going to ask him what he thinks. Where is this team, and how much concern does he have over the regular season and the rest of it unrolling over the next 5 weeks? You're with Scott and Q here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today on this Tuesday. Powered by our good friend Sam and Ash. Visit them at samandash.com. If you need an injury attorney, that's where you go. It's Sam and Ash, end of story. No clowns and makeup with big pompadours, just Sam and Ash. Good folks, because you deserve what's right. Okay, Q Meyer, Scott Gulbranson back here as we roll on this week as the Raiders get ready to go to New York to play the Jets. J-E-T-S. You talk about bad. I mean, you talk about bad franchises, Q.
Yeah, they are. They're a really bad franchise, man. They stink. Their head coach stinks. Their record stinks. Their players probably want the season to end. But what I hate about them is that they have not won a game yet. And yes. Those kind of teams scare the mess out of me because I get concerned that they, you know, they don't want to be embarrassed, man. They don't want to be the Detroit Lions or the Cleveland Browns that went 0-4. They want to pick up a W. So they're as hungry as a hog, you know what I mean, to get out there and get at least one W.
I love that. Hungry as a hog. Yeah. And, you know, the other thing is Hunter Renfrow said it yesterday in his segment with us. Look, these are still professional football players. They might be 0-11. I get it. They're a terrible football team, but guys have pride. And you're right. It's dangerous when you face a young team that's got nothing to lose, or you face a team that's so bad they got nothing to lose either. They just might go out and have put a good game together. You just never know. So we have to talk about that. But coming up here in just a few minutes, Jesse Merrick will join us. We'll get his take on this team and where they're at and what he thinks about this year versus last year and what will happen over the last 5 weeks. But first, we bring in our guy from Australia, our man from down under, and that's our good buddy Rossi, who says, Raider Nation, chill. Right, Rossi?
I do say chill, because this is where the win in Kansas City is the gimme that allows a performance like Atlanta. Everybody's talking about this 10-6 record, 11-5, 9-7. You go back to predictions, you look at the schedule back when it first came out and then all the way up until the first game against Carolina. Most people had us as 10-6. And if you look at how we got there, we are probably at 6-5. We are probably only one game either side of being where everybody predicted us to be. It's just that it's an awful performance. Colts are probably better, although they still have Phillip Rivers, and we all know what the Raiders think of that guy. The Dolphins are playing better. However, there's some issues going on there in regard to Tua and Fitzmagic as well. So we are exactly where we thought we'd be. It's just coming off of an extremely disappointing performance. And I think that playing somebody like the Jets, I agree with Q. You're talking about some professional footballers who might have checked out of this season, but they're playing for next season's contract.
Yes.
They're looking to move on to show that they never give up. They have the heart. They do whatever they need to do. And so go out there, be a professional football team like the Raiders can, execute, and we will win this game. It could be 44-10. It could be 28-14. It doesn't matter. As long as we win, and that becomes another W.
Yeah. And Rossi, thanks, man. As always, a great call. And that's what Hunter said yesterday, too. It doesn't matter if you win by one or lose by one, win by 40 or lose by 40. It's all the same in the win and loss column, Q. And he's right. They just got to go take care of business. There's not a lot to talk about. You just got to go win.
No, exactly. I mean, like I said, this is when we really kind of wrap up what we're talking about with that game and just start to flush it. And like I said, move on to the Jets and start focusing on that. And hopefully the Raiders have done that as well. And one thing that Hunter said on Monday's show that really stood out to me as well is, you know, I think you asked him about, you know, is this similar to last year's team, or a lot of people are talking about this is similar. And he said, look, I don't think so. I think we're a lot more talented. I think we're a lot better than that. I think our locker room's better than that. But until we go out there and prove it, we don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he admitted that, hey, I'm not going to tell you that we're better. We got to go out there and show that we're better.
Yeah, and that's what I like about this team. And you saw it with the Derek Carr comment about practice last week in the post game, which is like, these guys are up front. They're not going to try to candy coat it when they play poorly. They just come out, they own it, and they move on. That is a great sign if you're a Raider fan. Okay, it's time to bring in our guest. Our normal Tuesday, our weekly guest at 2:30 is our good man out at News 3 Las Vegas, covers the Raiders for the station out there, and Jesse Merrick now comes in. And Jesse, this game, you know, it's behind the Raiders. It was an awful game, but what's your level of concern? If you had to rank it between 1 and 5, 1 being very concerned and 5 not being concerned at all, where are you on this one?
Hey guys, to be honest, I think I put it at like a 2. You know, I don't want to overreact to this. I love following Rossi. This is back-to-back weeks, and he's a really level-headed guy, and I think he's right. You got to just look, brush it off. This one sucked. I mean, they were bad. They came out flat against a team that they should not have lost to. But, you know, stuff happens, and you got to roll with it. So I think as long as this doesn't repeat itself, it's okay. We'll have a real, you know, good you know, barometer of what this team is like, where they're mentally this week coming up against the Jets if they lay another egg here. But I think right now it's one game where we were like, wow, we haven't seen this from them this year. So I think you can kind of brush it under the rug. One of those ones where you say, hey, guys, we got punched in the mouth and we didn't get up off the mat. Let's see if we can keep this thing rolling now as we've got an easy schedule down the stretch here and everything we want is still right in front of us in terms of playoffs.
Jesse, first of all, it was great to meet you the other day at Allegiant Stadium. And second of all, how much do you think that that performance on Sunday against Atlanta kind of had to do as a little bit of a hangover from what happened on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium?
I think it did, man. All week, towards the end of the week, you know, we talked to Olsen and we talked to, I believe, Ustrom as well. You know, the topic of them being pissed off about that loss kept coming up. And, I hate to say it, but it kind of does feel that was the Raiders' Super Bowl. And clearly the way that they came out in this next game, there was a big letdown. It was a bit of a hangover. There's no other way you can point to it than that, because there's no reason that Atlanta should have been able to do what they did to them. So I think there was a hang-up on it. Maybe they thought about it too much. When I initially heard them saying they were pissed off about that, I thought, okay, they're going to come out. This is going to be a team with some fire. And then obviously we saw what happened. So that's a thing I think you can really chalk it up to.
Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas joins us. Jesse, this football team to me is better than last year, but perhaps maybe in some people's minds, some of that success early on in the year, some of the hype around the team, maybe we overestimated them a little bit, because I look at it this way. I'm not making excuses, because it's not about excuses, but every team, even good football teams, when they're faced with adversity, when it continues, and a lot of teams are in that boat this year, it starts to wear on them. When you look at all of this, do you think maybe that all of this collective stuff that has happened, and then you have that Chiefs game, which we don't want to continue to harp on that, but it was stark to me sitting there at Allegiant Stadium and watching the post-game press conference, the emotions on the face of John Gruden, on everybody. It just seemed like they were so dejected. You know, losing a game like that is tough, yes, but do you think maybe the cumulative effort of everything that's happened this year too might have just come together at one time in that game, and that could have been part of it?
Yeah, I think it definitely could have. I mean, you know, think about it. You said everything that they've, whether it's on the offensive line, the defense, everybody having to sit out, the whole offensive line having to sit out, guys getting hurt, Trent Brown not playing, you know, you lump all that together and you're able to get the wins and it works out and you're feeling pretty good. They won, what, 3 games in a row heading into that one? And then, you know, you think you just beat the Chiefs. You're on this high. You're like, all right, we got it. Defense, just figure out a way to stop Mahomes. And I know saying that, I get what I'm saying in saying that, but – you know, you think you got this, and then the rug is just pulled out from underneath you. I mean, you could tell it really affected Gruden. He felt like, man, like he just got dumped or something. Like it was tough to watch and tough to listen to him, because you could tell how much it hurt him and the other players. And I think that's a good thing, though, because they know and feel like they could have won that game. But it could be the cumulative effect of that paired with this game now. You know, and again, that's where we see how they pick themselves up off the mat. But when you put in all that work and you don't see the results, that's really when it gets tough. But also, this is the time of year, and Scott, I saw you tweeted after the game, that this is where the cream kind of rises to the top in those different teams. You figure out who's for real and who's not. And so this is really that opportunity for the Raiders to respond and show the national media that, hey, this isn't what you guys have been saying about us since that loss. We're that team that you said we were since we lost to the Chiefs, but really took them to the brink. We're that team that can kind of compete with anybody.
Yeah, no doubt about that. That's a great point you bring up. And, you know, how concerned are you going into this game against the Jets about the state of the offensive line? Trent Brown, I know John Gruden said, is going to return to practice tomorrow, but not expected to play on Sunday. So you got Brandon Parker back out there. He didn't look very good on Sunday against Atlanta. Do you think that they rebound and have a much better day, or do you think that the protection for Derek Carr may be suspect again?
I think they have to rebound, don't they? I mean, not only the fact of what the Jets did to them last year, but then coming off of this game, I mean, if you're not motivated by that, then I don't know what the heck you're doing, and they got to get rid of a lot of guys and figure out what's going on. But I don't see that being the case. I think they're going to come out focused, on fire, ready to destroy the Jets. I mean, the table is set for this one to just be total domination by the Raiders, given the situation. There's no reason for them not to come out and do that. And with Brandon Parker, I mean, think about it in the weeks leading up to this, about how impressive he's been, how Grady's been filling in for him and the offensive line as a whole. You know, this week, guys were just getting hurt. They ran out of the lineup. Brandon Parker just had a bad game. There were all these penalties. I mean, they were also in a lot of positions where they were in third and long. I went back and counted today. They were in third and long 6 times. And then 4 times, they didn't even get past second down before they turned the ball over. So, like, the offense was in a lot of really bad positions. And when you're in that spot, it's going to be tough on your offensive line. Obviously, they need to do better. But they were put in tough positions, and it all kind of just piled on, in my mind.
Oh, yes, it did. Jesse Merrick, News 3 Las Vegas. You can follow him at Jesse News 3 LV on Twitter. Jesse, the last 5 weeks, so we're talking about this team. Q had them at 10-6 before the season began. I had them at 9-7. What is success this year? I mean, is it playoffs or bust? Or if this team finishes at 9-7 or even 10-6 but doesn't make the playoffs, is it good because they improve over, you know, either 2 or 3 games over 2019? What do you think about when you think about success and this team?
Yeah, I was one of the guys that had him at 9-7 heading into the season as well, and I think that is success. Having a winning record and the progress that they've made over the years, 9-7 would be a success. But you also want to see the team make the playoffs, and I don't think they make the playoffs at 9-7. I think they got to be at 10-6 because just looking at the playoff picture, you got the Browns at 8-3, the Dolphins at 7-4, the Colts at 7-4. So I do think you need that 10th win. So if you're going to base the success off of making the playoffs, in this progress of what Gruden's been able to do since he's been here, you got to get that 10th win, and that 10th win will be a success because, you know, I think most people would tell you if you don't make the playoffs, then your season was not a success. So in my mind, that's where I think it is. I think you got to make the playoffs. You got to get to 10 wins. And, you know, they can still do that. They lose one more game, and they get there. You know, they're still able to get it done. You know, you look at the game against the Colts and the Dolphins, those are those two maybe that are the toss-ups in there. Every other game they should be able to win. So I personally, as long as they don't just tank, think that this year has been a success overall, what we've seen growth-wise. I've maintained the entire time that there's still another draft and free agency class away so we really see what this team can be, and I like the growth that they've shown over the years. But I think 9-7 is right on that marker of, hey, okay, the progress is still continuing. They're not taking steps back. But I would say I'd be really impressed if they get that 10th win. That's where I'm really taking a step back saying, man, John Gruden and the Raiders really got something going here, and I believe the rest of the league would feel the same as well.
Jesse, I got to ask you this question, and I know that it's a different ball game right now because there's no fans, and so the city of Las Vegas is not what the city of Las Vegas normally is. But if the Raiders were to make the playoffs in their first year there in Las Vegas, what would that mean to not only the team, the NFL, but more importantly, the city?
Man, it would be insane. I mean, we know Vegas has a lot to offer, the entertainment capital of the world, you know, and they want to support a winner. So you come here and you win and you make the playoffs in your first season, the first time the Raiders have managed to win like that in a very long time, then it's like, all right, sweet, this is our team. They're winners. Let's get it. And we saw what it was like with the Knights, and obviously that was a totally different level in terms of making that run all the way to the Stanley Cup final in year one. But they've been, you know, that playoff team every year. This place really gets behind winners, and you know, the atmosphere at T-Mobile is insane, so I can only imagine what the atmosphere would be like there at the Death Star, you know, if they make the playoffs, if they were lucky enough to get a home playoff game at any point throughout that run there. But the city would be on fire if they make the playoffs for the Raiders. We already see the support they have now, times it by 10 if they make the playoffs, because everybody's the winner.
Jesse, before you go, you know, you follow the whole NFL as well, and with all these COVID outbreaks, we're kind of seeing a rise. I mean, the Ravens are a mess. But what's your gut tell you? You think we're going to have an 18th week?
I think we are, yeah. I've kind of thought about that the whole time, especially seeing the whole debacle in Denver and this stuff that's going on with the Ravens. I think there's no way we avoid it. You know, they talked all about there being a spike around this time of year. We're seeing it hit the NFL as well. I think that 18th week is inevitable. And then again, maybe we see the NFL expand the playoffs again to that 8th spot as well. And maybe that does help the Raiders. We'll kind of wait and see. But I think we're destined for a week 18. And to be honest, I mean, I want to see the season go as smoothly as possible. But I don't know about you guys, but I'm not going to be mad about 4 weeks of football.
Yeah, no doubt. And I still think, I was talking to a friend today, he's like, man, why don't they have a bubble in Vegas for the playoffs? You could put everybody at Mandalay Bay. It's right across the street from the stadium. It makes all the sense in the world. But, oh well, if we were only in charge of the NFL, Jesse, we'd have it all done.
Oh, it'd be so much better, right?
It would be. All right, Jesse Merrick, follow him on Twitter at JesseNews3LV. Jesse, we'll talk to you next week, man. Take care of yourself.
For sure. Take it easy, guys.
All right, there
See you go.
Jesse Merrick. Good stuff. All right.
Good stuff.
By the way, I got to announce, too, you know, the Raiders and their legacy of involvement in the community, a great announcement today from the Raiders Foundation, a new community investment program here in Nevada. You were when you were here, Q, you see the Raiders license plates around?
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yes, my wife has one on her van because she
does. She really?
She does. Absolutely.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
She wanted to support the foundation. So those license plates, everybody's like, where does that money go? Because it benefits the Raider Foundation. Well, here's where it goes. It's going to the Community Investment Grant Program. That's a new initiative that's dedicated to assisting nonprofit organizations with funding for work in the community. It's a multitude. They don't just give it to one. They give it to many. I've been involved. I've been out to their events when they've done it for education-based, for homelessness-based, for drug and alcohol addiction-based stuff. So they give the money out to those. So those folks that are riding around with their Nevada license plates, you're funding amazing work here by the Raider Foundation. But they announced that today, and they're accepting applications. So if you or anyone like our good friend Vince over at Vegas Wish, if you have a nonprofit organization, you can apply. You go to raiders.com/grants. And you get application in by 5 p.m. on February 1st of 2021 to get those funds from the license plate. So another great thing that the Raiders are doing in the community, man. They just, you know, this is the kind of thing where even if you're not an NFL fan, this is how your community benefits.
Yeah, exactly. And the Raiders have been doing a really good job of really embracing the city of Las Vegas and Nevada in general. And they've been doing that even before they actually officially moved. So I love the fact that they're in touch with the community and know that how you win is in the community, in your local community. Take care of the people that take care of you.
And by the way, for our good friends and members of Raider Nation in the Bay Area, the Raider Foundation is still doing work in Oakland and the Bay Area as well, too. So they have not turned their backs on their former home. So they're doing it there as well, which is really, really cool. Okay, it's time for a break. When we come back, we'll get back to some more of your calls, talk a little more about racing. No, running. You ready to run? You want to run a 5K, Q?
No, I'm a short-term guy.
Okay.
Sprints, well, baby, sprints.
We'll tell you a little more about that when we come back. Call us, 702-365-9200. How do you feel about this Raiders? Scale of 1 to 5, 1 being you're completely just over the moon concerned, or number 5, you're like, they'll be okay. Let us know. 702-365-9200 is the number. You're here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back, Silver and Black today on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a great day, great week. After the holiday last week, hopefully you're not hungover still. We haven't heard
from depends on what you're hungover from.
Yeah, turkey, tryptophan, cranberry, tamales, which is a very popular...
Or all the drinks involved.
Yes, or all the drinks. Oh, by the way, so I talked about running. That's because January 30th, 31st, you know, we're still in this COVID disaster crap. So the Raiders are having their Raiders Way 5K, virtual 5K. So you can basically do any course you want. You can go sign up. On the Raider website, you'll see it. It's a virtual way. Again, money goes to the Raiders Foundation, which is going to go to all those things. It also goes to civic health and military support, along with youth development, you know, football, education, everything. So we can't run together, but Raider fans, no matter where you're at, you can go sign up for this 5K. It's pretty cool, dude. You get a race t-shirt, a custom race medal, a decal for your car, a digital finisher certificate, and... The Raiderettes are giving you a music playlist, which I'm sure will be heavy on Van Halen and Black Sabbath. No, just kidding.
What about Tupac?
Yeah, Tupac. No, I don't think they'll have Tupac. They're going to have all that dance stuff. I mean, that's what the ladies do. They're great. And they have a
They can be riders, man. They are from Oakland originally. They're riders.
That's true. That's true. I'm not saying that's not true. As long as it's the radio edits.
Of course.
Right. Okay, so the virtual 5K, though, but go check it out because you can sign up for that now. Again, you can run on January 30th, 31st. You run your own course wherever you're at. So we're going to have, hopefully we'll get Rossi to do it so he can do it from Australia and send us pictures. Rossi's like, no, man, I'm not running. But
what if he does it the day before? Will he be running by himself?
That's a good, well, it's 2 days though. So he could do it on his 31st when it's the 30th here.
That's a good point.
Right? Right. Okay.
We'll have to check. Next time he checks in, we'll have to ask him.
We will do that. But the Raiders Way 5K is presented by Intermountain Healthcare, Smith's Food and Drug here in Las Vegas, as well as Gatorade. So go check that out on the Raider website. I'm going to do it, man.
Are you really?
Yeah, DeMond, are you going to do it with me too?
No.
Virtual 5K?
Not a chance.
No, DeMond won't.
No. I'm not a runner, man. Look at all this muscle, man. I don't run.
Yeah. You know, DeMond is a professional wrestler.
Oh, is he?
He is.
So he's got that. So he's got that prison build where he's like he's big upper body.
Exactly. Like I hate it when body guys come in because I know I've got the legs. I've got the tree trunk legs, man. But it doesn't matter like how much ab work I do. I just look like I'm just like working out with phone books. You know what I mean? Like just thick.
And you know what's so funny, Q? And I will tweet out a picture on the Raider Nation Radio account here in a minute. And you've mentioned the prison body. He's wearing this orange shirt, which looks like he escaped from county.
See, yeah. I be knowing, man, without being in the building, in the studio, I be knowing what's going on, man. I can get a good feel for everything.
You got it, man. That's hysterical. All right, we're going to go on the phone lines here before we have to go to a break at the top of the hour. And first up is Alan. Alan, you're on with Q and Scott.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
I've got playlists. With the Raider Reds, and it's got an empty hammer on it. I'll sign up tomorrow.
Nice.
But at the moment, I'm pretty worried. I'm probably out of two right now. I'm worried because of this reason. All off season and at the beginning of the season, we heard Derek Carr say that he wants the respect. He's tired of the crap. And everything was looking okay up until Sunday. Well, he's not going to get the respect, and he'll deal with more crap. And if it happens again this Sunday against the Jets, man, I don't think we're going to make the playoffs. I mean, we
got to
win on Sunday.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Alan. We appreciate it, man. And I think a 2 rating is fine, 1 being not concerned, 5 being really concerned. So the 2, I think, is fine because, yeah, you come off that loss. It was so ugly after things had gone really well for 4 weeks for the most part, except for the loss against the Chiefs. And you start to think that way, and I get that. I get that. If they lose to the Jets, all bets are off. Okay.
Well, of course, yeah.
But I don't think they will. Okay, we're now going to the 559, which was the 209 when I lived there. It's Salty in Fresno. What's going on, Salty?
Hey, what's up, guys? I woke up Sunday morning. I probably jinxed this. I told my wife, I said, hey, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to be relaxed because today's going to be the first game all year. I'm not nervous because we're playing the Falcons. And what do you think happened? I'm sitting there waiting for this team to freaking wake up. So here's my message to the freaking Raiders. I know they don't give a damn about what I have to say, but here's this. Last year we went 1-5 down the stretch. Let's turn that around. Let's go 5-1.
There you go.
Derek Carr, I'm sick of you complaining about how you're disrespected. Well, the reason you're disrespected is because you have a bomb game on the previous Sunday night. You go out there and show the world that you're a true quarterback, and then you have a freaking eggshell like this. And it's Gruden, I'm sick of your excuses, too. Talking about how we got injuries. Every team is injured. Everybody's having to deal with COVID. So you want no more dang excuses. Let's go 5-1 to end the season. Let's make the playoffs. Yeah, we probably won't go nowhere. But I'm sick of the excuses, and I'm sick of the losing. We have a phenomenal team, and let's just play hard. That's my freaking rant for the day because I didn't get to listen to you guys yesterday. So have a good week. I'll talk to you next week.
Well, Salty, here's the deal, though, man. I think you cursed them. You should have just stayed in bed with your wife and not gone to work out.
Hey, well, you know what? Just side note, nobody cares that my wife is pregnant, so I was just trying to get a little break. So, anyways, love you guys, love you, love the show, love listening to y'all.
Good, and hey, congratulations on the upcoming birth of your baby. That's great, man.
We could have such a good deep conversation about that if we really wanted to explore that
we
route.
We really could. But instead, we're going to go pay some bills.
We're going to
pay some bills. And I'm going to take a picture of DeMond to put up on the Twitter account so you can see him in his prison garb. You're here with DeMond, with Q, and with Scott on Silver and Black today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
Listen Sunday.